John F. Kennedy called himself the son of Massachusetts. He was proud of his birthplace. All eight of Kennedy's grandparents migrated from Ireland to Boston during the potato famine in the 1800s, and within a couple of generations, they would create a family fortune and start a political dynasty in Massachusetts that would stretch to the U.S. Senate and the White House. While he loved this place, as president, Kennedy would say the four happiest days of his life were in June 1963, when he traveled to the birthplace of his ancestors, Ireland.
When my great-grandfather left here to become a cooper in East Boston, he carried nothing with him except two things: a strong religious faith and a strong desire for liberty.
On the 50th anniversary of his passing this month, WBUR is commemorating John F. Kennedy with a special series called November 1963. This morning, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports on JFK's life and times in the state he called home.
In 1914, soon after they were married, Joseph and Rose Kennedy moved into a 9-room colonial house at 83 Beals Street in Brookline. Today, it's a National Historic Site.
Welcome to our home. This house holds many happy memories.
Rose Kennedy narrates an audio tour of the home where her second son was born in the master bedroom on May 29, 1917. You can still see the bassinet where baby John slept, the piano young Jack played, and the books his mother chose to instill a love of reading.
I was very careful to select books which were recommended at school or by a children's bookshop. Probably Jack's favorite book was King Arthur and His Knights.
But when he was just 10 years old, the family moved to New York. It was only in 1936 that John Kennedy returned to Massachusetts to attend Harvard College. From his sophomore to his senior year, he lived in this dorm, Winthrop House, room F14.
This is the JFK suite right here.
Joanna Miller is administrator of Winthrop House. Nice.
So it was recently refurbished in the style when JFK lived here.
There's an old Olivetti typewriter on a desk like the one Kennedy used to write the senior thesis that would become a bestseller. On the dresser is a picture of his mother, Rose. Above the fireplace is a photo of JFK taken by his roommate, Torbett McDonald, a working-class kid from Malden and captain of Harvard's varsity football team. McDonald was an usher at JFK's wedding and a pallbearer at his funeral. Today, the Harvard Kennedy School of Government rents out their 2-room suite to visiting dignitaries.
It's $125 per night. It's not quite a 5-star hotel, but it does have a lot of history.
Just 6 years after graduating from Harvard, JFK ran for Congress and won the same seat his grandfather held a half century earlier. Honey Fitz, as he was known, also served as mayor of Boston. On his father's side, Grandfather Patrick Kennedy was elected to the Massachusetts House and Senate. JFK had the Boston political pedigree. What he lacked was a Boston address. While campaigning for Congress, he admitted, "I'm a stranger in the city of my birth." Kennedy's father fixed that. He rented an apartment at 122 Bowdoin Street across from the State House. It would be JFK's legal voting address for the rest of his life. Kelly Minella's boyfriend buzzes her in. He lives right next to JFK's old apartment. We take the stairs.
Yeah, it's up on the third floor.
Maybe JFK walked these very steps.
I know.
And there, on the door of apartment 36, is a makeshift memorial.
It says, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And there's just a plaque with his picture and a couple of stickers with his picture, so... Yeah, and I think everyone in the building knows about it, so they like to brag. I'm glad you were able to see it. Bye.
On his weekly return to Boston, the bachelor congressman was a Sunday afternoon regular at the Union Oyster House. A plaque identifies booth 18 on the second floor as JFK's spot. Restaurant manager Jim Malin says the young congressman would sit alone and order as usual.
Lobster stew, which is pretty much a bland dish. It's a little bit of milk, a little bit of butter, a little bit of lobster, and, on the old Yankee tradition, nothing, too fancy. You know, and he would have that and sit here and do some work.
Not far from Union Oyster and just down the block from JFK's Bowdoin Street apartment is the Omni Parker House Hotel.
the Kennedy legacy here is huge, and it, you know, it goes back to his grandfather, who was mayor of Boston, which is right across the street here.
Dave Ritchie, director of sales and marketing at the hotel, leads the way to the Parker restaurant. Table 40 in the corner is where JFK proposed to Jackie. And upstairs on the hotel's mezzanine level, in the ornate press room, Dave Ritchie says there are more JFK memories.
This is where he gave his first speech when he was 6 years old at his grandfather's 80th birthday party. He announced his run for U.S. Congress here, and even his friends held his bachelor party here.
In this room?
In this press room, right.
During the bachelor party, George Smathers, JFK's groomsman, reportedly broke his leg falling out of the second floor window.
We're not allowed to talk about any of those stories, so we have to be very quiet about those things that happened at the bachelor party. But can you imagine? I'm sure they had a lot of fun. One of the old sayings we have was still cleaning up from the party.
Smathers and Kennedy's friendship began in Congress and continued in the U.S. Senate. They shared a passion for politics, golf, and reportedly women. Kennedy was livid when Smathers decided to run against him in the 1960 Florida presidential primary. The Kennedy political machine, based in Irish Catholic Boston, went nationwide.
And do you deny to any man the right he's guaranteed to be elected president, no matter what his creed?
JFK's presidential campaign got off to a slow start. In the early days, Kennedy made a stop at Harvard Law School. Herbert Gleason, head of the Student Democratic Party there, had invited Senator Kennedy to speak.
On the way, he said, tell me about this thing. Who are they and what do they want?
Gleason cautioned Kennedy to keep things lively, make his remarks short, and ask for questions.
So I introduced him, and he got up and he said, my name is Jack Kennedy, and I'm a candidate for President of the United States. Are there any questions?
It was quintessential Kennedy. He won the election by a slim margin, and then just days before his inauguration, he returned to Boston, where before a State House crowd, he declared himself this man from Massachusetts, making clear he was saying thank you and not farewell.
For 43 years, whether I was in London or in Washington or in the South Pacific or elsewhere, this has been my home. And God willing, wherever I serve, this shall remain my home.
Kennedy returned home to Massachusetts three times in the last 4 months of his life. The first for a tragedy in August 1963.
The dramatic miracle of birth and a fight for life takes place at the Otis Air Force Base Hospital on Cape Cod as Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy bears a premature son who has been baptized Patrick Bouvier. The president rushed from Washington to be with his wife, and then with his sister, Mrs. Jean Smith, goes on to Boston, where his newborn son was taken for intensive medical care.
The Boston Globe declared, he'll make it, he's a Kennedy. But infant son Patrick died. He lived just 39 hours. In mid-October 1963, JFK was back in the state, attending a Democratic fundraiser in Boston, and then, a week later, his final trip to Massachusetts, to a groundbreaking of the Robert Frost Library at Amherst College.
He once said to me not to let the Harvard in me get to be too important. So we've followed that advice. Home, he once wrote, is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in.
And Massachusetts always did. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Geller.